Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast.
Welcome.
Where we talk about all things embarrassing and humiliating. We tell our embarrassing stories. We tell yours. We want you to laugh with us, cry with us, and have a good time. I'm Katie.
I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week?
I have like a boring week story, except it's for me, it was monumental. It was like amazing what happened.
That's
this
huge.
Week.
What happened?
My baby slept through the night.
Oh, that's amazing.
I don't know why I said it like that. My baby slept through the night.
Congratulations.
For a whole week, he has slept from 7 to 7 and has not woken
You're
up.
You're a whole new person. That's a huge milestone.
I am. I feel like my life has returned to me. I see the birds. I hear the birds. I can see the sky.
Your eyes are open right now.
My eyes are wide open.
You're awake. It's
there
incredible.
Are harps playing behind me as I walk down the street. Yeah, no. So that's a big deal.
That's magical.
For my life, that is the most amazing thing that could have happened.
That's everything, to be honest. Yeah, it's everything.
What about you? What happened? How are you?
Nothing. Everything's fine. I know. Yeah. I'm like, nothing. I watched the craziest documentary ever, Natalia what? Grace. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay, then the Natalia Grace documentary is on HBO. I'm not going to give anything away, but it is definitely worth watching. It is insane. It's so disturbing. It's just twists and turns. They interview so many people. It's the story. Like, you remember the movie The Orphan? Did you watch that movie?
I remember it.
I mean, it was several years ago. But basically, this family alleges that they adopted a 6-year-old who was, in fact, like 22 years old.
What?
And this is the story. And it's the story of what happened. And it is fascinating. They do reveal her actual age. They talk to neighbors. They talk to so many people. But yeah, it was such, it's very disturbing. It's very upsetting. But it is a wild story.
Oh,
I watched that. That was pretty intense. Yeah.
Okay. I need to see that.
I did that last week. Yeah.
I always take your recommendations and then I really am glad I did it. Because you watch things that I don't see or like haven't like, and then I watch them and they're usually documentaries.
Yeah. I watch a lot of true crime stuff. So it's not for everybody for sure. But yeah, that one is just a really, really intense story. And I didn't know the outcome of it. I'd heard of the case, but I didn't know all the details. And yeah, it's pretty wild.
And you walk away from those things thinking like, oh, okay, I'm going to get a heavier blanket and tuck into my couch. And like, I don't want to go outside because people are crazy.
Yeah, it's
true. People do crazy things.
It's very true.
And it's bonding too. You bond with everyone else who's seen that, right? And then you're all just like, oof.
Yeah, you all talk about how wild it is. Yeah.
Thank God that didn't happen to me.
Okay, I've got a good one for you. This story comes from Reagan in Mississippi, and she writes, when I was 16, I was working at a Baskin Robbins. Yum. Love that place.
Love that place.
Not a sponsor, but maybe one day. I got diagnosed with IBS that same year, but that didn't stop me from eating the ice cream because I was 16 and ice cream. Yeah. I don't know that would stop me today, to be honest. That particular night, I indulged in my favorite combo of chocolate chip cookie dough and peanut butter chocolate. Peanut butter chocolate is my favorite.
So good.
I'm from a small town in Mississippi, and after 9 p.m., there wasn't anything open except for Walmart. This is when they used to be open for 24 hours. R.I.P. Are they all closed for 24 hours now? Maybe some are open still. I feel like out here they probably are.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? My shifts were over around 9 p.m., so I would go to Walmart to dick around until I felt like being back at home. This particular time was in May. After work, I went to Walmart just to look around like I always do, feeling fine. I'd been shopping and picking up random knickknacks in my arms without a basket, and I was in the back towards the electronics when it hit me like a ton of bricks.
No.
Out of nowhere, I was fixing to shit immediately.
Oh my gosh.
First of all, I love that. Such a Southern. I was fixing to shit. It's amazing. I was fixing to shit immediately. So good. Since I was already in the back of the store, I started briskly walking, butt cheeks clenched so hard I could see stars.
Oh.
This is so amazing. To the back bathrooms, only to find out they were closed.
No.
Of course they were.
Why?
Of course they were, because that's the way it works. My heart, my stomach sank. Literally, I had no other option. I was gonna shit my pants in this Walmart.
Oh no.
It's the worst. Oh. I started to sweat and I came up with a plan really fast. It's May. Mother's Day has already passed, so there weren't any other holidays approaching. No one would be in the card aisle. That's where I need to do
that. That kind of quick math.
It's brilliant.
So
I could never, if I was completely panicking, I could not have the wherewithal to be like, what month is it? Where will no one be? Like, what's the least popular? Like, that's so strategic.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this person is brilliant. Okay. Yes. That is like so strategic. So I hurriedly wobbled to the card section, dropping my gathered shopping belongings on the ground somewhere in the shoe aisle. On the way, I picked up a birthday card to look inconspicuous. I looked left. I looked right.
Oh, no.
And I just let whatever was happening happen.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I think I would have run out of the store. So kudos to you. I guess she realized she's not going to make it. And so she didn't want like people to see her running.
She's pretending to read a card and like having just going
just letting it loose.
Pants.
Just letting it wild. Okay. I
love
it.
There's that one guy looking for an anniversary card right next to you.
No, there was no one. There was no one looking
Nobody.
For cards. She was
she
so
did the
smart.
Math.
Okay. All right. I was wearing khaki pants for work, so I knew the back of my pants would be obviously stained and I needed to get out of there fast. When I was finished, I put the card back, sighed, and turned around, only to be greeted by an older woman in a wheelchair with her jaw on the ground. She was the only witness to this heinous crime.
Oh.
I felt awful and stinky while I slowly collected my pile of random stuff I had dropped in the shoe aisle when during my escape, it hit again.
No, oh, my no. God.
No way I was making it to the bathroom. So I went back to the cards.
No. The old lady's like, no.
This is so fantastic. Oh, I love that, like, this little, she's a teenager. She's 16 years old. She's, like, trying to use her best strategy. And she's, like, back to the card aisle to do my poops.
She's, like, tormenting this poor little old lady who's like, that might have been a dream. Wait a minute.
I did my same.
That little girl's fixing to shit again.
I did my same song and dance. I picked the card up, checked my surroundings, and let the Kraken loose.
Oh my God.
Only to be seen by said lady again. This lady witnessed me shitting my pants, not once, but twice, in a card aisle of Walmart. The only thing she said to me was, that's nasty. and rolled towards the craft section. She just said, that's
she
nasty.
She rolled toward the craft section.
She saw her shit her pants twice. It just said, that's nasty. And rolled away. Oh, that's so embarrassing. I was
so
embarrassed, obviously, but even then I was giggling to myself about what had just happened. I dropped all of my random haul and headed to my car where I luckily had a towel that I used to protect my car seat. I drove home for a long, long hot shower. I had to air my car out for a week. It's so
I
good.
Hope she never ate ice cream again.
Oh, no. There's no way she didn't eat ice cream again.
Once you think to yourself, this could happen, you can't eat ice cream.
It's ice cream.
You would do it no matter what. You would be like, I'm going to eat ice cream and I'm going to
ice cream. I'm doing it
in the aisle.
I mean, it's amazing.
In front of an old lady.
It's hilarious. But I love that, like, even at 16, when I feel like that's such a, like, impressionable time and you would be so mortified, she's still, like, laughing about it. She's like, this old lady told me I was nasty. I just pooped twice in the Walmart. Like, this is hilarious.
Have confidence like that is so good. It's
I love it. And she's in a small town. So it's like, people can talk. People know each other. Right. They can be like, oh my God, did you see Reagan just shit herself in the car twice?
They're like, did you see Betty did a crafting, a very disturbing crafting project about poop?
She made a poop and it just said, shit happens. she started that slogan, shit happens, from that
she
day.
Started
She's
that.
The one that started
Or drop it like it's hot. Oh my gosh. That's really embarrassing. Twice, though?
Twice. Ooh, I know. You already think, like, okay, this is bad enough. I got to get out of here. And then you're like, oh, it's happening again.
Yeah.
I have no other option. I got to go back to the card aisle and pretend to pick up a birthday card.
Oh, my God. That was amazing when she's like, I knew there'd be no one in the card aisle. It was like,
it's brilliant. Yeah. I know. That's like beautiful mind shit. She's like sitting there, like, trying, like, figuring it out, like, in real time. Like, as you're, like, clenching your butt cheeks, like, and can barely think. Like, that's impressive. Yeah.
A beautiful mind, but then it's canceled out by the fact that you shat your pants.
Good job, Reagan. Twice. You did it.
Good job, Reagan.
We love that story. Thank you so much for sharing. And it's happened to everybody. Most people have pooped in public. It just happens, you know?
Well, this
I shared
is
my
what
story
we're realizing.
In the first episode. Yeah. If you didn't check that out, go check it out.
go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I love about this is that it does, you hear these stories and you're like, you know, I have done that. Oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. You know?
Nope. We didn't die. We got through it. We wanted to die of embarrassment, but we made it through. That's what this show is all about.
That is what this show is all about. And on that note, I'm going to share some stories from my life.
Oh, I love your stories.
I'm bringing them out, and they all have a theme that we haven't really touched on too much.
Okay.
And I want to like really kind of draw some attention to it.
Okay.
You know? So, okay. The first story is, I should preface this story by saying that my family is weird with money. Like we're guilty about it. Like as far as if someone treats us to something, we're like, no, I should be treating you. And then we have this fight back and forth. Yeah. It's like, no, I'm going to pay. And then we like desperately grab at straws. Like,
I get that. I'm, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we do that too.
Right. And then my family goes so far that, you know, my mom will be like, you can't pay for that bill because you have no money. And you're like, I'm about to pay for the bill, but you're already feeling like really shitty about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're like, oh God. So I have a friend who I've known for 30 years and I met my match. She and I will fight every time we are out to lunch, having a beautiful mm-hmm. time. We'll fight about, you know, the check, and it's just never ending. So this friend and I were at the grocery store and we were going to make a dinner. It was a summer night. It was going to be gorgeous. We had the groceries and I'm wearing a strapless white dress. And it's just like, you know, I get there before, get to the cashier before her. And instantly, here we go. She's like, you're not paying for this because you paid for the popcorn at the movie 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, whatever, doing a dance. Like, I got here first. I'm paying for it. She grabs my arms, puts them behind my back. And I'm like, okay, like strained in some kind of WrestleMania move where I'm like completely restrained.
She's got you in like a chokehold.
She's got me like a half Nelson with my like arms unable to move. It's a complete lock. But as she does that, my dress comes down and my boobs pop out, bare boobs. No. In front of the cash register lady. She's like, oh. The lady's like, oh. And I'm like, Fran, you got it. My boobs are out.
Oh,
and I like
God.
Yelled it. And the whole line heard it. And the lady was laughing. And she did not let go.
She's
and
still
I was like,
holding your arms.
Fran, I'm not making this up. She thought I was like making it up just so I could pay.
That's hilarious.
I was like, my boobs are out.
You're just
out,
exposed
Fran.
To everyone.
I like teared up. And then I said something. She let me go. And I said something I've never said before or since. I was like, you know what? You can pay for
you
this.
You can absolutely pay.
And I just stormed out and like sat by the car like fuming. Like, oh my
God. I love
it. Yeah. So you know what? It's okay if your boobs pop out.
It's okay. It happens. Everyone's like boobs. I'm sure my boobs have popped out before. Well, I mean, my little boobies in that first episode.
That
I
they
about
did.
That, but
the Little Mermaid.
I feel like, yeah. I feel like I've had bathing suit issues for sure where things have popped out. There's no, you know, it happens.
You just sort of move on.
Tube tops are just calling for that situation.
Well, I didn't know. I never.
You
I
were asking for
rarely. I rarely wear tube top, like a, you know, strapless dress.
Yeah.
I never will again.
But that's when it goes down.
Yeah.
All right. I got another one for you.
Yay.
This email comes from Jessica in Wisconsin, and she writes, the year was 1994. I was a chunky fourth grader with wild, poofy hair. I had only really begun to realize that I was bigger than other kids or like aware of a social hierarchy, and I was super shy. Oh, that's such a hard time. Fourth grade is rough. I hate exercise, and it was the first year we started doing the president physical challenges, which was like run a mile, do X amount of sit-ups. Literally, it would give me anxiety. So we get to our PE class, get teamed up with people at random, and have to do the sit-up challenge for like 5 minutes, 2 minutes felt like an eternity.
That's crazy. You just have to do sit-ups for 2 minutes?
Yeah, remember those? I remember we had to do those.
Sit and reach tests?
Yeah, those like stupid sit-ups.
Climb the freaking...
The like, rope? Oh my God, the rope was the worst.
Pull-ups?
Pull-ups. Get out of here.
I just hung there.
Nobody was doing
it. I just was like defeated.
There was like one kid in the class that was like, yeah, like doing the pull-ups. Everybody else was like, no.
I just like laid there.
I got teamed up with a boy in my class who's slightly cool, Ricky. We weren't friendly, but I had known him through elementary school. It's my turn for sit-ups, and I just know I'm not going to be able to do them. It's going to be hard, and I'm going to hate it. So he holds my feet, and I finally get one. I'm working on getting my second one when I fart.
Yep.
Fairly quiet, but audibly.
Oh.
He absolutely notices and goes wide-eyed. I'm mortified. I just keep doing sit-ups, pretending it didn't happen, but every time I do a sit-up, there's a fart. That's like a skit from SNL. It's honestly amazing.
It's like fight or flight instinct was wrong. You cannot fight through that. You gotta fly.
Oh my God. It's so good. Okay. Now it's getting louder. And this kid looks me straight in the eyes and says, oh my God, Jessica is farting. So everyone around can hear. All the kids around me started laughing. I did my best to just laugh it off and say, I can't help it. After pee, I faked sick and went home. That incident has stayed in my head for 30 years.
You know what, Jessica?
Oh, Jessica.
You know what? That's not your fault. That's your gym teacher's fault. They know that anyone who's going to hold your feet while you're trying to do sit-ups, you're going to fart in. Or in their faces.
They're going to get farted. People have like stinky shoes. Like there's always a situation somewhere where it's going to be embarrassing for kids in elementary school and middle school.
Yeah. And that there's like a room where the gym teachers are like, guess what? We're going to put some hair on their chests. We're going to like with the ruler slapping on their wrists. Like, listen, we're going to make them climb a rope in front of people. We're going to make them jump off the diving board if there's a pool or whatever. Like, I mean,
it's all so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
It's terrible. I get that. That's hard. Elementary school, that lives with you. That's like a rough one.
That's a Pandora's box of embarrassing stories. I mean, honestly.
But the fart every single time coming up is honestly iconic.
You have to stop doing sit-ups.
I think I would just lay flat and be like, yeah, it's over. But I love that she's just like. Eh.
She's like, you didn't hear that.
Like, I'm just going to keep going. I can't help it. Oh, well. She's like, and I'm getting my stride. I'm doing these. I'm doing a really good job. I'm actually getting up there. I'm doing the sit-ups.
Right.
You just tolerate the little fart each time.
Oh, God. Just asking someone to tolerate your fart.
I love it.
That is embarrassing.
And shame on you to Ricky. Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky. Ricky's and then that's the thing. He's trying to connect to everyone. And like, there's a balance of power there. Oh, God. Middle school.
No, we're not even elementary. Yeah, fourth grade.
Oh, it's hard. Well, at least you're like at the tail end of it, yeah. Right? You can escape to middle school.
Which is even worse. You escape to a worse fate. Yeah.
You like open up a door and run into
I think middle school's the
hell.
Worst, yeah, because puberty is hit. It's like the worst time. Middle school is the most horrific, I think.
No, yeah,
you got
definitely.
Braces. You're just trying to get crushes.
You have a hypoactive thyroid like I did, and I like weighed like 18 pounds, was like blew away with every gust of wind. But I still decided to have a crush on all the hottest guys in my class.
Oh, it's
just broken heart at every bell. Okay, this is my next story, and it is from my life, and it does continue on the theme of boobies.
Boobs.
So, when I was in my 20s, I did a very indie film called Jack Rio, and it was about a guy who would get recognized. He was very famous, and when he got recognized, he would stalk the person who recognized him and then cut off their face.
Oh, I need to watch this.
So
I played
the lead.
Is it a cult classic? I need to see it.
I don't know.
I need
if
to
you can
find this.
Find it.
I'm gonna find it. I'm going to find it. Everyone's going to find
it. I realize by saying that people are going to maybe look. I don't know. I haven't seen
it. It just became a cult classic.
Yeah.
Right now.
Great. So great. Well, I was at the premiere of it and I wanted to look good. I'd never been to a premiere. It was basically a screening in like someone's backyard. I mean, it was not red carpet or whatever, but I got red carpet ready. Like I borrowed a dress from that girl, Fran. And she's taller than me. So the dress was really elegant, but it was made for a bigger torso, right? Mm-hmm. So it had like these two straps that came kind of over my boobs and there was a little bit of side boob action. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to do this, right?
Yeah.
And that's not me. If you know me, that's not me at all. But I was like, I think this works for this premiere. And I got my hair done and I got my boyfriend who I hadn't really been dating very long. And my sister was there and her boyfriend and my agents were there and the whole cast was there. And we all sat in this row. It was in a screening room. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in a backyard. It was in a screening room. And we sat in the same row and, you know, it's on and we're watching it. And all of a sudden, you know, people are looking down the aisle at me, like giving me a thumbs up. And like my sister's like, you know, giving me like a whoa, look at where we are face. And I'm giving her the same back. But then I noticed that they kind of like paused a little bit, but then before they sat back, like my agent was like, hey. And I stood up at the end of it. I mean, so the whole movie goes by and I, you know, I'm watching it. And then at the end, we stand up and we're going to like turn around to the people and like, you know, go do a Q&A. And I realized that one of the straps has fallen down and my whole boob is just out. Like, it's like the the saggier ones. It's just like really out. And I'm just like quickly grab my strap and I'm just like, oh my God. And I realized my agent probably saw it. The other cast, my sister, her boyfriend probably saw it.
Oh no. Because you're facing everybody.
Well, Not when they're looking at me down the aisle, but you can still see someone's boob hanging out, outline of their like big old honking boob.
This is an interesting style choice.
No one said anything except my boyfriend, who said, "Yeah, I saw it. Like, I just thought you were doing that on purpose."
Oh my God, like, no.
Yeah, we weren't.
Everyone thought
long.
You were doing it on purpose.
Like, I was trying to do what? Like, get cast in my next movie with my boob?
You're trying
to
Kim K that, okay? You're trying to try to do it that way.
Yeah, so that was embarrassing.
That is. Whatever. That's rough. Know? That's rough.
Yeah. You know, I guess my message is get your outfit together. Make sure if you're going to anything like that, or if you're going to anything like a prom or whatever, get your outfit. Don't borrow it from your friend. Go buy it. You know, just get it tailored. I don't know.
Yeah. Or borrow it, but make sure it fits.
Make sure
your boobs don't spontaneously pop out.
Do that thing in the
or do if that's what you're going for.
Dressing room. Right. If you're going to, you want to just be a topless because.
Free the nip.
God bless. Yeah.
God bless. Okay. This next email comes from Chelsea in Sedona, Arizona. Sedona, Arizona. I love Sedona. And she writes, "When I was in seventh grade, our school sponsored a trip to Costa Rica." What? In seventh grade? Did you go to places like that in middle school?
No.
We didn't go anywhere.
We went to the Capitol.
I mean, I grew up in Maryland, but yeah, we went to DC because it was close by, and we went to New York. We went to like Statue of Liberty, but like I wasn't going to
Costa Rica.
My mom would never have let me go to Costa Rica in seventh grade. That's amazing. We still had to pay to go, but our parents weren't there. Wow. Yeah. Would you let your kid at 11, 12 years old go to Costa Rica?
I don't even want my kid to go to a sleepover before he's like 17.
Yeah, that's intense. But that's also amazing. I'm sure that was fun. There was about a dozen kids, three teachers, and two tour guides. Towards the end of the trip, we were staying in our fourth hotel, and it was a beautiful little boutique hotel where the rooms were encircling the pool. Sounds amazing.
Aw.
I'd been playing in the pool with my classmates when I decided to get out. I was watching the pool and my classmates and waving to them as I walked to my room when I distractedly opened the hotel door. It was a small hotel that was family run, so there was no standard room key. To my horror, as I turned around to walk into my hotel room, I saw my seventh grade science teacher in his birthday suit changing.
No.
No. We both screamed, and I immediately realized that I had mistakenly opened his door and
that
not mine.
Is funny.
Okay, that well, thank God he wasn't in your room.
He's
thank
not
God
like,
that you opened his door.
He's like, let's talk about sex.
No, that's horrifying. They both screamed. Oh my God. Imagine him. He's just sitting there changing from the pool.
And you can't ever like really, I mean, you're going to go to his science class,
that
right?
That is so awkward.
That's so awkward.
I believe my exact response was to scream, slam the door shut, and fall onto the ground into the fetal position. Like a preteen movie character, I assumed my life was instantly over.
Oh.
Everyone heard me because the pool was in eyesight. So everyone immediately came running over to ask me what happened. Funnily enough, my teacher's daughter, who was around 18, was also on the trip and was the first person to ask me what happened.
Oh, come on.
I blurted out what happened. And I think out of anyone, she laughed the hardest.
You think you said, like, I saw your dad's junk.
I saw your dad naked. I thought I was going to have to change schools and my name. Thankfully, it blew over fast and people knew it was just an honest mistake. And the news never really seemed to make it back home. Thank God there was no social media back then. Ugh, I thank God for that every day that there was no social media growing up because, oh my God, the sights I would have been on. But me and Mr. Hammerly never looked each other in the eyes again. But I bet you he makes sure his hotel doors are locked now. I bet he does because, oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing on both counts. Like, it's more embarrassing for him, I feel like, too. But she had to witness it. And it's her science teacher. You're in seventh grade. That's so awkward.
Oh my God.
And you have to just be in class and never look at each other again.
Ever. I know.
That's that.
That's one we've never heard.
I know.
Is the walking in on someone.
Yeah, walking in on someone naked. Super awkward.
We should have a sound effect for just like the first time we hear something embarrassing in the story.
The first type of story.
Yeah. This is another one from my life. I am a boogie boarder. And when I first moved out here.
I love that you're like a self-acclaimed boogie boarder. I am a boogie boarder extraordinaire.
I mean, I'm pretty good, I gotta say. I've been doing it for 2 decades. But I wasn't always good. But practice makes perfect.
I love it.
And I love getting out there. Do you boogie board?
I mean, when I was a kid. I I did when I was young. Yeah, you know, I definitely
you're not getting out there now.
I definitely had a boogie board when I was like in elementary school.
Okay, okay, we get it. We get yeah, it. Yeah, you're yeah. like no. when I was eight.
I definitely
maybe did. I was nine, but it was it. Well, I love it. It is like, for those of you who do not know, it is like being shot out of a cannon. It is like your adrenaline is racing. You can get staircase waves where one compiles into the other and the other, and you're going down the stairs and you're screaming your head off and you are free.
Well, kudos to you, because I won't even go in the water anymore. Like I grew up next to the beach and went in the water like all summer long. And now I'm like, what's down there?
What are the creatures around me? I've seen dolphins like going for it around me on my boogie board. I'm like, the only
That's beautiful. A dolphin, but not a shark, weird little
jellyfish.
Squishy things. Yep. There's all kinds of creepies down there. I don't want any part of it.
I don't care, because I grew up in the Midwest, so the Pacific Ocean is still the most exotic thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, yeah. It's literally like, what? This is what what we're doing today. So the only bad thing about it, really, I would say, is the surfers that I go in their waves of. Like, I'll just be like, oh, hey, dudes. And they see my boogie board and they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, oh, I'm riding them too. I'm riding these gals. Let's do it. You know? And they're like, somebody like punt her out and like drown her.
No.
So anyway, I was in the water one time and I see the wave of all waves. And I think to myself, she's going to be mine. And I start paddling.
Let's boogie.
Let's boogie. That is lingo, Katie. Are you sure you haven't been out there?
Boogie nights.
Boogieing means you're going to go catch some killer waves.
Or it means you need to blow your nose. It means.
Okay. Don't bring it back to snot. Come on.
I am a child still.
So, I mean, like, that just takes the wind out of my amazing big kahuna boogie story. Like, I like start boogieing over. Now I'm only thinking about snot. So I'm boogieing. I'm paddling out. I barely have time to like turn my board, and I catch her at the peak of her power. And I see the beach, and I guess I just realized I was going to die, because I flew in front of it. The wave. The wave then crashed into my body. I was in like a washing machine, and my back is scraping against the bottom of the ocean floor.
Yeah, it's
and
terrible.
I don't know which way's up, and it's like all bubbles in my face, and all I see when I open my eyes is just white. Like, and I thought I was going to drown. Luckily, mercifully, I found my footing, and I mean, I had been spit out really close to shore, which was like a relief. But as soon as I stood up, I knew something was terribly wrong, because I looked down and I just saw my bare boobs. And I saw my bare butt.
Oh, like, no. I was like, had nothing on. You lost it all. The sea took it all from you.
The sea king Titan Poseidon had decided to take away my bathing suit. And I was wearing a string bikini because.
No. Yeah, that's what you were.
Well,
yeah.
I was 20 years old. Yeah. I was just like, boop, 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 ba-doo. And I saw my bikini bottoms that had washed up on shore.
Oh my God.
I don't know where my top was. It must have just
stop it.
Come. So I knew that
you lost it all.
I was butt naked, standing up like.
No.
Butt naked.
No.
And you know.
On the beach.
Well, the beach
is
like.
And it's not a nude beach. You weren't
in
San Diego.
It is definitely not a nude beach. And I mean, there is definitely the thing as getting arrested for indecent exposure. So I'm looking at a bunch of people who are looking at me, because that's like what the beach is. When you're in the water, you're like on stage.
Yeah, everybody's just staring out.
Enjoying the beach.
Yeah.
So I just take off. I don't know where my board is.
Where's your towel?
Don't know where my boogie board is. I ran to my towel. I'm not kidding. I ran by two gals who applauded as I ran by.
That's amazing.
They applauded my bare little butt and my my boobs like flopping everywhere. And I grabbed my towel, wrapped it around me, ran with my stuff to the car, drove away. Katie, I have never done this before or since, but I left my boogie board there that day.
Oh, no.
I had to buy another one.
But also, like, how are we on episode 9 and you're just telling this story?
Well,
it's so good.
Because as
it's
it goes.
So good. You remember stuff.
You remember.
Like, that definitely happened to me before, where I tumbled, but I was like, I don't know, 11 doing the book.
Again, you're like, I was 5.
I was like, it was a long time ago. I was like 11 with a tumble. But so I was like, I'm sure wearing like a one piece, and like, yeah. It wasn't as big of a deal, but.
I'm sure there was like a surfer there that day that was probably like, yes.
I know I've had a boob come out like in a wave when I was younger, for sure. Oh. It's nothing's like vivid like that, where that's so horrifying to the whole
beach. Some people just go skinny dipping and it's fine. I never had ever been naked. Like, I just thought, like, what is this?
Well, I mean, you got a whole audience. There I would be mortified.
There were children there.
There were children playing, making
sandcastles.
It'd be hard enough if you lost one or the other, but to lose both and just be fully naked on the beach in front of everybody, that's the stuff nightmares are made of.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
But you know what? I got right back. I mean, the next summer, it took me a summer, but I'm still boogieing.
You forgave
to this
sea.
Day.
She goes on to boogie another day. I forgave the sea. Wow. I mean, that's good. I don't think I'd forgive the sea. I feel like, never again. I don't want to go out in you. I don't want any part of you.
Well, you already felt that.
I did, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I grudged the sea a long time ago.
Yeah, you were like, those squishy things that I stepped on, never again.
No, I have somehow gotten into the TikToks, the deep sea TikToks. It is the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It's like always some like, yo ho, yo ho. They're playing this like crazy old seaman music. It's terrifying. They're like, the boats are capsizing. There's water coming in, like huge waves. Like,
okay. So it's not like a huge animal under your boat that you don't know.
No, it's not animals. It's like all deep sea fishermen that are like in the middle of the ocean. That's like my worst nightmare. I don't want to be in the middle of the ocean with huge, massive waves capsizing your boat. Like,
no,
coming over the top of the boat. It's horrifying.
I know.
And I can't look away. And it comes up. And now, because they've seen that I'm watching it, they keep showing it to me. So I'm in the algorithm of the deep sea.
So it's like
nightmare.
Someone's death video.
Like, I mean, I guess they live through it. They're like, so they're like point of view of like other boats capsizing too. It's like, so
crawling
crazy.
On shore with their like GoPro.
They post a TikTok before they go down. That's something someone would do in this day and age.
Totally.
So I'm on that algorithm and I don't like it. But
well, you're not going to go out that far.
No, yeah, I don't want it.
You're
going to
come with me.
I'm going to stay on the beach.
I think we can
persuade
you. I'm
going to watch you be naked on the beach from the beach.
No, I never wear string bikinis,
by the way, anymore.
I don't want to
be tumbling around.
I'm in a wetsuit, a proper wetsuit.
There you go. Okay. All right. I got another one for you.
Yes.
This next email comes from Christine in Santa Barbara, and she writes, in 2006, I was a freshman in high school, and I went to a big school. There were over 600 kids in my class. I was going to my first ever pep rally, and I was so excited. I was an emo kid, and I wore black leggings, black flats, and a layered camisole. I was feeling cute and having fun. The energy was palpable. As opposites attract, I had the biggest crush on one of the football players. Isn't it always that way?
Yes.
I was anxious to see him, and I turned to scope out my crush, and when I did, I somehow lost my balance and went tumbling down 5 stone bleachers and broke my ankle. Oh my God. It's so horrible.
Terrible.
You're a freshman. It's your first pep rally. You've gone down 5 bleachers and broken your ankle.
Oh,
imagine what that looked like.
You
probably looked like a rag doll to everyone. Like, it's so embarrassing.
So sad.
The people around me noticed. Some people laughed, but I was grateful my crush didn't see me. I quickly stood up and had to limp away immediately after that, but I was thankful it happened at the end of the rally. My best friend helped me in the moment, still my best friend to this day, but she didn't catch the entire fall and initially called me a baby about it, quietly,
what?
Not publicly, until I called her and I gave her my results after I got out of urgent care later that night.
Oh, good for you.
I thought this was the end of my humiliation. But to my chagrin, someone got it on film and submitted it to the school news.
Oh my God.
They ran it every week for a month and a half as part of their blooper reel. I carried that around with me the rest of my high school years. Oh my God.
No.
We didn't even, I mean, you know, I'm obviously older than this, but. And I went to a really small, I'm from a small town, but we didn't have anything like that. Like
that.
News clips that they like shared to the class beforehand. And it's you're the blooper.
But like, I thought that they would maybe do a hey, be careful on those bleachers. But instead it's like, look at this idiot.
Womp, womp. And they probably put some like ridiculous music to it. And she's like just tumbling down the stairs. And they just play it over and over like 5 times.
Oh.
Like, you're like, I broke my ankle. This was traumatic. Somebody filmed it and they put it on the school news to everyone. That's like the worst nightmare.
I know.
Like,
getting recognized for that.
Thank God that people couldn't film from their phones back in the day because we all fell and did all kinds of things. My crush loved the clip and thought it was hilarious, and that made me lose my crush on him.
Good.
I was lucky I had good friends who supported me when the clip was showing, and I also had great teachers who would wait a few minutes to turn on the school news knowing it was played at the beginning. Oh my God.
What vice principal is like replaying that over and over and over?
That seems super inappropriate. I wasn't made fun of by people I knew, but I was in a cast for a few weeks and a boot for at least 2 months after that. So people would occasionally be like, oh my God, it's the girl from the pep rally. Perhaps the best part was many years later, I met the anchor of the news who I found out wanted the clip played. I grilled him about it in front of our peers and he got so much grief for it. His girlfriend was legit horrified. Ultimately, I love that I have such a ridiculous story. Did it suck at the time? Yep. Did it ruin high school? Absolutely not. Just stayed a running joke for a long time. I will say my mom ended up complaining to the school about the news situation. All I wanted was for it to stop running and to get a get out of pep rallies forever pass. I ended up with both and that made it a lot better.
That's great.
I would too. I mean, that's horrible. It's like such a, like, high school is so hard anyway. You're a freshman.
Yep.
You've just had this traumatic experience. You've broken your ankle. You've gotten hurt falling on the stairs. And then they're like, the school plays it for a month and a half on the school news to everyone in the school.
And that's the thing. I love that voice because it's like, okay, that's what it feels like when you do that to somebody. You're going to replay something over and over. That actually really hurts. She like broke her ankle. Come on,
man. It's horrible. Like, that's so rough, but that's so embarrassing. And you thought like, okay, cool. Like, nobody saw, dust yourself off, like limp away. Like, and then the next day you're like part of a freaking blooper reel.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So horrible. To the whole school.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That is what nightmares are made of.
I know. That's no good. And then, or you're just like, I'm going to tuck into the newsreel. Like, ooh, well, hopefully like we just move past this. And then you're just front center.
You're front
falling
center.
Down.
On it.
Oh, and now we have Instagram who it's like, oh, all the videos are just people falling down.
Yeah. Now everything's captured.
Okay, this is the last story and it is goes with the theme. It is not mine. Unfortunately, I ran out of boob stories, but I'm sure if I really rack my brain, there's more. This is from Neil in Montana. And he wrote,
all right, we have a guy. We have another guy.
Another guy. Yay. I'm so happy that like we're getting these guys.
Yeah.
When I was much younger, my parents took me on a trip to Europe. I must have been 13 years old and was very much in the midst of a sexual awakening. As we traveled through England and Scotland, my thoughts were consistently interrupted by thoughts of naked ladies. As you do. The final stop on our European family tour was Paris. I got to see the Louvre, the Arc de Triomphe, the Champs-Élysées. But the image that would stick with me the most was not these wonders of history and artistic perfection. As we traveled through the City of Lights, my parents would give me their loose change to hold on to after making purchases. This was before the euro, so they were still using francs. All in all, I had a fortune in franc coins rattling in my pocket over the course of the trip. One lively afternoon, we sat down at a French cafe for lunch between sightseeing sojourns. As we were sitting enjoying our food, a woman approached the table. She was clearly impoverished and was looking for some spare change to get something to eat. The other notable thing about this woman is that she had a baby sucking on her breast.
Oh, my God.
This was the first bare breast that I had ever seen, and I was transfixed by
How old were they?
He was 13 years old.
Oh, no.
So a baby, like a bear, like a woman nursing her child is going to still be a boob, I guess.
Yeah, a boob is a boob at 13 for sure.
As I stared, I began handing over the coins in my pocket. First one coin, then five, then 10, then 20. I was hypnotized. This guy just giving this woman all of his money.
That's hilarious.
Staring probably at her boob. My parents were so distracted with trying to have a conversation in French with our waiter, they didn't say a word as I shelled out fistfuls of coins to this woman.
But she needed it. That's good.
It's great. Finally, the well ran dry and there were no francs left in my pocket. The woman walked off into the city of Paris with her infant and her bare breast, and I returned to my meal, delighted that I had caught a glimpse of a boob in the wild. Oh my God, poor guy. Just like how much that sucks that you just want to stare at boobs all day. As we finished our food, the waiter brought us the bill. My parents turned to me and asked if I still had the francs as they had spent the last of their cash just before lunch.
Oh my God.
I know. I began to blush, realizing that I would then have to explain where the money for our lunch went.
They didn't see any of it? Where were they?
They were talking to the waiter, trying to make like a French conversation with
That's
the waiter.
Hilarious.
I explained that I had given all the money to the lady who had come to the table. My parents made clear that I had given that woman almost $40 in coins. Good job. I'd like to say that it was worth it, but in all honesty, I think this story just highlights the stupidity of the horny teenage boy.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sure she put it to good use for her little baby. She probably needed it, but that is, Yeah, having to tell your parents that is really funny.
So
he probably
so
left
funny.
The part out that her boob was out when he told his parents. He was probably just
he should have, right?
I just gave
like it was a woman. She needed it.
But also like picturing a 13-year-old like being just mesmerized and like keep going back to their pocket is a really funny image.
Just like never stopping until all the money's gone, just staring at her boob.
Just like,
it's also, yes, it's a beautiful image, but it's not like a sexual image. You know what I mean? It's like
but a 13-year-old is like a boob is a boob.
Yeah,
for sure.
A boob is a boob. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
That's funny.
If you like this podcast, please tell a friend and rate, review, and subscribe because it helps us move up the charts.
If you've got a story that made you turn beet red, please email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And thank you so much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you laugh with us. We hope you had a good time.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
And if you can't beat them,
join them.